In Jean Mirabelli's latest novel, Renato the Painter, we meet Renato Stillamare. Am I pronouncing that correct?
Stillamare.
That's much better. You say that much more beautiful than I could ever attempt to, but Stillamare, who may be the best painter of his generation. At least he doesn't know anyone better, but his canvases aren't in demand and haven't been since his last show at a Newbury Street gallery 25 years ago. Now 70, retired from teaching at Copley College of Art, Renato has retreated to his Boston studio where he is defiantly painting, determined to be rediscovered. His story is about extraordinary things happening to an ordinary man living life to the fullest. Jean Mirabelli is the author. He'll be signing the new book at 7 p.m. at the Bookhouse in Stuyvesant Plaza tonight in Albany. Jean, welcome to the Roundtable. Great pleasure to have you on the program.
It's great to be here.
What brought you to this man, to Renato?
I've always liked painting. I have many friends who are painters. I thought of becoming a painter. But I found most painters were rather inarticulate, as a matter of fact, and I liked people who talked and people who wrote, and so I wound up being a writer. Also, I wanted to write about somebody who was old. Most novels are about people, it seemed to me, in their 30s or 40s, something like that. And at the time I thought of this book, I thought that 70 was old. As it turns out, Renato is 70. I'm at least 11 years older than he is.
Okay.
To be 70 again. He seems like, to me, like a young man. But the idea was to write about somebody who was at this rather desperate point in his life, and everything is going wrong, everything. And as the novel proceeds, one thing after another goes wrong.
You know, 70, although his life is very, very full in some ways,
yeah,
and slowed down in others.
It is. It's true. He's got too many women. He's trying to work.
Work.
He has a wife. He's got three kids, one of them by somebody else who's also constantly in and out of his family. That child being brought up by, as a matter of fact, his wife. So he's living in his studio. He's sort of alienated from his wife, sort of alienated from this other woman. His children wonder what he's doing, why he isn't living at home, and so on. And into his life comes this third party. full of tattoos, and surprisingly enough, bringing along her little kid.
Yeah.
And they take up residence in his studio. So this complicates his life, yes.
She has a little boy. And I don't know, obviously, but I got sort of the girl with the dragon tattoo thing about the mom, right?
That's true. She has got tattoos. But that I said, I didn't have that in mind. But I found that very interesting, yeah.
But very goth. And
very goth. She's got jewelry on her face and stuff like that.
Yes. So she's, yeah. So, and this changes everything, doesn't it?
It really does. In a strange way, she sort of kickstarts his painting. He really makes a breakthrough of sorts with her there. He really does paint. So on the one hand, he's advancing. On the other hand, it looks like he's going to have a big show. And eventually, he does get a show. That's the important thing. He does get a show. Eventually, things do turn out all right. The loose ends, well, I don't believe in tying up all the loose ends.
Right.
Life just doesn't do that. And I wanted a book in which was like life. It is not the same as life. If art weren't different from life, people wouldn't turn to art. They'd be satisfied with life. And art has a kind of resolution to it, even when it's apparently unresolved, that life doesn't. And he's a painter, and it gave me an opportunity to talk about art, among other things, as well as old age. Not old age, but as well as a struggling point in life. And he's at that point. After all, he's 70. It's past what's ordinarily considered retirement age. And he's trying to make a name for himself still.
And you wanted him to tell the story. You wanted it to be in his voice.
Yes, it's very strange. I realized a few years ago that my novels were in first person, but most of the short stories I've done have been in third person. I don't know why that is. I have no idea. But it's just the way it works out.
Mm.
It does make for a little difficulty in your personal life. if you're a writer, and you're writing constantly in the first person. If I were writing about a murderer, nobody would assume that I had killed people. But when you're writing about a man who has troubles of a certain sort,
you're a philandering artist.
Yeah, all right. Yes, you got it exactly.
that's the problem. You taught for years at the State University of New York at Albany. You're professor emeritus there. Does that help you in your writing? Do you think the time that you've spent with students and helping them with their work?
Yes, I think it does. For one thing, when I came to the university, I was the only person who taught writing. They had one course. It was an undergraduate course.
Oh, excuse me. I apologize about that. Go ahead.
They had one course. It was an undergraduate course, and I taught it. When I left the university, we were giving a PhD and turning out writers as well as regular, ordinary, conventional English graduates. So it was great to be in that program. It was great to deal with graduate writers.
Yeah.
They were novices, but they were good. And that was a lot of fun, yes. And being an academic gave me time. It didn't give me enough time. I wrote three books. By that time I had three children, and it became clear to me that I was going to have to devote myself to being a professor, which I did for about 20 years. There's a gap between the first three novels that I wrote for about 20 years is a gap, and then come the last four or five. I forget how many there are in here. I think there are eight, is it?
Eight?
Yeah.
Seven or eight, yeah.
Seven or eight. And the first three, and then there's a gap when I'm devoting myself primarily to teaching, and then it picks up again toward the end. Yeah.
So in how long have you been at work in this one?
Well, this one was rather strange. I began this when 70 seemed old to me. As a matter of fact, I began this while I was still there. But as soon as I was able to retire, 1,000 things came into my mind that I wanted to do that I've always wanted to do, including other books. So I wrote two or three other novels and then got back to this. By the time I got back to this, as I said, I was older than the narrator was. But I had sketched out the book, so I was able to follow through with it pretty easily. So although I began this a long time ago, I just finished it a few years ago.
It seems, and of course we'll never know, but it seems like it would have been a different book had you written it while you were 70.
You're right. I never thought of that. Probably you're right. But fortunately, the first part is largely a reminiscence of his youth. The first part goes from the time he's left on the doorstep as a foundling, and he's brought up in this Italian or Sicilian-American family, up to the time he meets the woman he's going to marry and he has his first show. Then it skips 40 years. I was not really interested in the middle part of his life. Mm. I wanted the background of when he was younger and getting started. That's very important, actually. It gives you a sense, and it's written rather like a memoir. Then it skips 40 years, and you get, for the bulk of the novel, his 70th year, where he's, as I said, trying to get a name for himself, which is where we left off when he had his first show and was rather successful.
Part two, the summer of Renato's 70th year, in which there are unpredictable complications, one exhibit, and many pregnancies.
That's right. That's right.
Tells you everything you need to know.
Everything
right
you need to know, exactly.
When you look at a character like that, it is he's not unlikable.
It was tricky because he's not a man without flaws. We have to say that. As a matter of fact, this evening I was thinking of what I would read this evening, and I trying to find this chapter that wouldn't shock anybody or wouldn't upset anybody or wouldn't alienate anybody. The man
well,
has flaws.
No fun.
Well. I'm much shyer than he is. Let me put it that way.
But you found one.
I found one. Yes,
that's
one.
Good. And then I work on something new. I assume. Was it always something new?
I had. Well, at my age, you can't plan a long book. Let me put it that way. I would like to write one more, a shorter book. And then I actually, believe it or not, I would like to do some painting. I had been a painter. I tried painting, and I'd like to try. The house is full of unpainted canvases that I started.
The name of the book is Renato the Painter. It is published by McPherson. Gene Mirabelli is going to be at the Bookhouse in Stuyvesant Plaza tonight at 7 o'clock and going to be signing and talking about the book and reading. And you can find out more information by going to their website. It's Bookhouse in Stuyvesant Plaza. Again, the event is at 7 o'clock. The name of the novel is Renato the Painter. Gene Mirabelli, I thank you very much for being with us. I wish you all the luck in the world, and have a great time tonight.
Oh, thanks. It'll be fun, and this has been great.
Thank you very much. Again, Renato the Painter, published by McPherson. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.